Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on a busy Tuesday night. Rob Ambrose, Towson head football coach, will join us in studio coming up here at 6:35. But right now we're talking Orioles and baseball and the Hall of Fame, which will be announced tomorrow with Rocky Bacco from massinsports.com. Rock submitted his vote a while back for this year's class, and he included number 35, the Moose, on it. And Rock, you get to see a lot of passionate Orioles fans, very specifically, write back to you a lot from your blog on massinsports.com. What is your sense of what fans would think if, A, Mike Mussina went into the Hall of Fame, and we haven't even touched on yet whether or not he'd wear a pinstripe or an Orioles cap?
Yeah, I think they're really divided. You'll find plenty of people that say, you know, he deserves to be in no matter where he finished his career, and that they wanted to represent the Orioles. They were thrilled that he went into the Oriole Hall of Fame. And then there are others that say that they don't think he deserves it no matter what because of the reasons that, you know, we were talking about. And that, you know, they look at him as a traitor. He was a Yankee. So even if he does get in, they don't even want him associated with the Orioles. It really is a divide. And, you know, it's worth noting it's not his call. And I'd be really curious which way he would go. I think there's still some bitterness for him. I think that I'm guessing. Maybe, you know, I haven't talked to him about it. Maybe you know differently. I just think that if it's entirely up to him, I think he would go in as a Yankee. And I'm just playing here.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think the Hall has the final say. And I think they look at it as, was it 10 years in Baltimore, 8 in New York? He won more games in Baltimore. And there isn't like this huge difference. You don't win a championship with the Yankees. So I think they would look at it and say, it should be Baltimore. That's the organization that drafted him, developed him, and he had his first 10 years. So I think the Hall would go ahead and put him in as an Oriole, but I think he would probably prefer to go in as a Yankee.
He was pretty political. We did have a chance to talk to him about it briefly before his Orioles Hall of Fame induction a couple of summers ago, and he was pretty open-ended about it. He was measuring himself just a bit politically, but I did not get from Mike warm, fuzzy feelings about anything, and I never covered him as a player, but that was my sense of it. And then in talking to guys who have been around the beat a long time, they weren't saying it was necessarily out of character. I'm going to ask you about Mike personally coming up here, but just so people are very aware of the numbers, it was 10-8 as far as years played in favor of Baltimore compared to New York. It was 147 wins in Baltimore compared to 123 wins in New York, and about a 0.35 ERA difference better in Baltimore. So there's no way anyone could argue it to the contrary, and he didn't win a championship in New York. It felt like he did because he played in so many playoff games, but he didn't win a ring there. He did win 20 games once, but he never won a Cy Young there. So if it's based purely on time served and numbers, if he's going in, it should be as an Oriole.
Right. And, you know, I did cover him, and I can tell you he wasn't a warm and fuzzy guy. He was a guy, first of all, you had to get in his inner circle among the media, and I had trouble doing that. He was, you know, he was very friendly with Mark Maskey when he was covering the team for the Washington Post, and I never got that same treatment from him. And then all of a sudden we bonded during the playoffs against Seattle at the Kingdome when he won game one against Randy Johnson, and we rode the elevator up together. And the next day he invited me to share a cab with him to go to the ballpark. He saw me standing outside. We talked about kids. We talked about other things besides baseball, and all of a sudden he was kind of my guy. But there was an inner circle there, and he was tough, you know, and he didn't blend real well with teammates. I'm not saying he didn't like them. They certainly respected him. But he's sitting there doing crossword puzzles. You didn't think Scott Erickson was going to be able to relate to Cena at that time. So I didn't read too much into it as far as during that weekend where he was honored by the Orioles, because he just never was a warm and fuzzy guy. But I do know, talking to people, that he just kind of seemed, yeah, whatever, that attitude when he got the call saying, hey, you're being inducted to our Hall of Fame. And you remember his speech lasted about 12 seconds.
Oof.
So I would hope that it would last longer if he's actually going into Cooperstown. But I kind of just got the sense that it didn't mean all that much to him, which was disappointing.
Yeah, that is disappointing. I always kind of looked at him as a fierce competitor, somewhat of a tactician on the mound, Rock. He's everything we always wanted these current group of Orioles pitching prospects to be about. He seems so professional in how he dealt with himself. We see all these ridiculous emotional swings with the Zach Brins and the Jake Arrietas, almost coming unglued at times on the mound. Mike was always completely together. We hear Buck talk about holding on runners and fielding your position and getting over all your pitches and locating your fastball. I mean, that was Mike Mussina to a T.
And people do, I guess, maybe forget what a good fielder he was. He was an outstanding fielder's position. You're right. He's everything that Buck would have liked. I know maybe there were some people that would be a little uncomfortable because he had a tendency, like, to when he was mentoring the young pitchers. I remember someone like a Josh Towers who had a really good game, and the media's waiting for him by his locker, and Mike's yelling to him, go ahead and finish eating first. They can wait. Hmm. We're thinking, all right, let's not steer players like us against them, which Mike had a tendency to do once in a while. And I think that made some people uncomfortable, but I think that's also very Stanford up. Jeremy Guthrie had a little bit of that in him as well. I think it's a Stanford thing.
It might be.
Yeah, but absolutely, the Orioles would love to have a Mike Mussina in the rotation right now. That's exactly what they're looking for.
All right, speaking of pitching, we have to go here because I actually do think the Orioles are going to make a move coming up here for a starting pitcher. What's your sense of it? We've seen A.J. Burnett. You've written about it, Bronson Arroyo. What's your sense of that? And also, I'll tag on this. Is there a chance outside Tanaka, the big three starting pitchers available in Jimenez and Irvin Santana and Matt Garza, there's more supply than meets demand after Tanaka and that chip falls? Is there a chance that those three pitchers might be dangling out there a little too long and someone panics as far as the pitcher or agent and they may take a three-year deal?
You know, that's the only way it would possibly happen because they won't go 4 or 5. And, you know, they really don't want to give up that first-round pick, which they wouldn't have to do with Garza. So I think even if it ended up being 3 for the other two, I just think that's still an issue, especially with Dan Duquette. I think he really wants to hold on to that pick. And I talked to other people who say, the 17th overall, who cares? Give it up. But I don't think he wants to do that. But I think if a Garza suddenly became a 2 or 3 year deal, which I don't see happening, but then the Orioles are more in play. But absolutely, they really like Burnett, and he's perfect for them in that a local guy, because he's living in Moncton now, who would want to pitch here, who would sign a 1 year deal and they think would give him innings. That's exactly what they're looking for. But they don't even know whether he wants to pitch or not. And Arroyo, they really like. They just don't want to go 3 guaranteed years for him, as I've written. But their interest has been there since the free agent market opened. It's just a question of would he take 2 or even, I don't know, 2 and an option. I just don't think they want to go 3 guaranteed for a guy who's going to be 37. But again, he's what they're looking for in that he's guaranteed 200 innings every year, 30-plus starts every year. That's what they need to pair with Tillman. So I think those two guys are still in play. They would just have to work out for him, or Burnett would want to have to pitch, and he wouldn't want to go back to the Pirates, and that Arroyo would be willing to take less than 3 guaranteed.
Well, it should be interesting over the next few weeks on that front. Also, we can tell you exciting news that Rock and Jim Hunter will be hosting Hot Stove Baseball coming up this Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here on WBAL. So we'll see you in studio then, Rock, and we appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing how that Hall of Fame announcement goes tomorrow.
Thanks. My pleasure. Stay warm.
Oh, stay warm indeed. That's Rock Kubacko from Masson Sports. We'll come back with much more next here on Sportsline.